This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks for joining us. I'm Mitch Tine.
And I'm Audrey Nowakowski. We often hear about the demise of the American farm, thanks to consolidation and other economic factors. It's had a real effect on the way of life in rural America. But one aspect of that dynamic is often overlooked.
Around 1.5 million barns still exist on American farms. In fact, the state of Wisconsin is among the top 5 states in the country in terms of barn ownership. But while the idea of owning an iconic red barn in a state like Wisconsin can seem romantic, it can pose real challenges as well.
Reporter Debbie McCullough went in search of the past, present, and future of the Wisconsin barn. She learned that while some barn owners struggle with upkeep, others are using barns in innovative and enterprising ways.
9 years ago, when Waukesha County artist Bonnie LaDuha was scouting for a property to buy, she unexpectedly fell in love with a 3-story vintage barn. The previous owner had neglected the space, which once housed horses and cows. Even still, as she explored the area, big plans formed. She wanted to convert the barn into a venue for artists to store and show their work. And with help from friends, family, and neighbors, she did just that.
Someone had made it into a duplex without any permits. It was rotten, falling down. Animals were living in it. I can imagine raccoons, squirrels.
Oh my goodness.
It was terrible. So we had to gut it because I saw the beams and I wanted it to be a barn, not a duplex. The beams, because it's like an upside down Noah's Ark, these were actually made in Manitowoc shipyards.
Today, LaDuha's barn, blue with an arched roof design, hosts 5 art festivals a year with music, food vendors, and a flea market. She calls the business Hawthorne Hill Farm. A small gift shop sells trinkets, local art, and supplies. But it's the barn and the festival she holds there that remain the lure.
I bought it knowing that I was going to do this. Yeah, absolutely. I do not have too much maintenance here. It must be very sturdy. I did have a new roof put on it, but nothing has been falling apart on me. Just cleaning, landscaping, keeping it clean. That's probably the hardest part.
But the joy of owning a barn offsets any effort, she says.
I love the smell of it. Mm-hmm. I love the feel of it. I've always liked barns. I don't know, it's just my happy place. Mm-hmm. My very happy place.
And we can hear the birds outside.
I can, and I love to be in here when it's raining because you feel cozy in here, but you can hear the rain.
LaDuha also loves her barn during festival time when the space comes alive.
The women shop and the men stand around and look at the barn and look at the beams and they're just like in awe.
LaDuha's not the only Wisconsinite using a barn in innovative, enterprising ways. The National Barn Alliance, a nonprofit group, states that 35,000 pre-1960s barns exist in our state. That's including the 50 to 60 rare but remaining round barns. As historian Jerry Apps writes in his books and manuscripts, the barns of Wisconsin are a silent reminder of the state's history and a major source of beauty for the rural countryside. Many Wisconsinites, therefore, have adapted barns into dance studios, bed and breakfasts, restaurants, and even event venues. Chicago photo stylist Tom Hamilton and Juan Palomino purchased the farm at Dover 5 years ago. They've since converted the classic red Wisconsin barn into a stunning wedding and event place. It stands amidst 7 acres, towering oaks, and ivy-covered silos in the quiet, leafy town of Dover, southwest of Milwaukee. Historical records say the 4,800-square-foot, 2-story barn has been standing since 1874.
We spent 6 months looking for at different farms. We looked at 20 different farms from...
All in Wisconsin.
All in Wisconsin, because Wisconsin, we know, is more beautiful than Illinois. And we knew this was it.
Once they purchased the place, Hamilton and Palomino had specific hopes and challenges with the vision they wanted to create.
Wanted an authentic, historic barn. We wanted to keep it as historic as possible while still following all of the rules that the state and the county gave us. Prior to purchasing the property, we worked with Racine County, which was wonderful to deal with. We worked with their economic development chapter, and they helped us navigate all the rules and regulations that we had to follow. We had to get acceptance from the town at Dover. We had to meet all our neighbors. We had to present a business plan. And then once we got both approvals, then we started construction.
Luckily, the historic barn looked in excellent shape with thoughtful restorations. The previous owners had taken care of the barn.
It's a classic red Wisconsin barn. Most of the beams in here were beams that they harvested from the lumber on the farm. So the farm was originally 500 acres, and a lot of the beams, you can still see the bark from the tree on the beams.
Along with corporate engagements and private dinners, Hamilton and Palomino host 40 to 45 weddings here a year. On a Saturday afternoon, with a wedding just hours away, florists get the arbors, tables and chairs ready while caterers prep the mezzanine dining area, carefully lighting candles. From the Victorian bridal and groom houses, Hamilton and Palomino explain they decorated the space in eclectic style from art and antiques they'd collected from their travels. The groom's quarters, converted from a granary into a Wisconsin vintage man cave, sports a 1930s cigarette machine, taxidermy, and a framed Marines recruitment poster.
Sometimes it changes, sometimes it
don't. We visit the bride's quarters where makeup artists work with bridesmaids for the wedding. Hamilton describes the space.
It's a gorgeous old Victorian that we restored. We wanted it to, once again, be authentic, but it's a little more upscale because you have brides in here and you want to make it special.
Part of the charm comes from retaining the natural barn beauty while also, with the help of an architect, complying with state and county rules and laws. This step helps the partners keep the history and integrity of the place intact, something they both value dearly.
The Hardy family established this homestead in the 1840s. They had 500 acres originally, which was a sizable amount of farming. This is the second barn. The original barn is over there closer to the road. It's since fallen down, but we use that structure as a garden.
Only after purchasing the barn did Hamilton and Palomino hear how much the county once cherished the barn and the family who once owned it.
It's really special. We have a lot of neighbors that have come by over the years and like people who are like in their 80s, and they remember playing in the hayloft up here.
In the 40s.
So they remember, you know, it being a big farm and people would come out, gather around. So there's always celebrations here. So people, it was always part of the community.
It was one of the bigger barns.
It was one of the bigger barns in the area.
Hamilton and Palomino also had to put a 32-foot deck on the back of the barn to comply with county rules, along with a sprinkler system. But the deck became an asset. Guests love the view, and this and other efforts all feel worth it. When asked what they love best about their barn, Hamilton says it's the attic, where we've sat for our interview, and the barn's prolific history. Palomino can't decide.
Everywhere. No?
Everywhere.
Everywhere is beautiful. Yeah. Because they had no the character, the feeling, no? The historical barn and everything, the lighting is beautiful.
Barn enthusiasts and experts like Chuck Law say the state of Wisconsin, which has only had barns as early as 1830, is seeing a renaissance in locals and tourists appreciating these beautiful historic structures. For almost 25 years, Law, who directs the UW Extension's Local Government Center, has coordinated the Wisconsin Barn Preservation Program. He says he felt fascinated with architecture since he was a boy. His grandfather practiced architecture around the time of Frank Lloyd Wright. Law recalls flipping through his grandfather's drawing book and noticing the subject of his buildings were often old barns.
I think he was fascinated by the interplay of light and shadow as they cast on some of these timber frame structures that, quite frankly, some were falling in disrepair. And that's where my interest began.
Law says one of the characteristics of Wisconsin barns is the range in structures.
That is one of the fascinating characteristics of Wisconsin barns is they are not all alike.
Law notes also Wisconsin barns connect strongly to the culture and ethnicity of the family who once lived there. And Wisconsin's barns, in many ways, remain unique.
Many of these buildings will live on for many, many years because they do host a wide variety of uses. Many of these barns are still supporting agriculture, but we've also seen a recent trend where adaptive reuse has become a popular way of keeping these barns standing.
That adapted reuse of barns runs the gamut from antique shops, bed and breakfasts, restaurants, apartments, business venues, and even venues for family events and weddings. He's seen a huge cultural shift in how owners use and view their barns.
Many of these barn owners would contact me and they were frustrated by the fact that the old barn was really a liability to them. And so it was a challenge to try and really convince them that there was value in that old barn.
Law now finds Wisconsinites largely view these old buildings as an asset.
I receive contacts almost on a weekly basis from someone who's looking for a piece of property with an old barn on it. If you look at some of the multiple listing services today, you'll often find a piece of property with an old barn on it where they talk about the beauty, the history, the importance, the significance of that old barn to the value of the property.
Meanwhile, more traditional uses of the state's barns, like using the space for storage, also exist. Then there's the primary purpose for barn usage, storing and providing shelter for livestock. Just outside of Milwaukee, two brother farmers, Ryan and Glenn Brueggemann, run Brueggemann Farms, the last functioning farm in the area to milk cows from a barn. At evening milking hour, farmhand Emily Cutbirth prepares Holstein and Jersey cows for their evening milking. We're in what Glenn Brueggemann calls a New Zealand swing-style parlour.
You have to watch out your stance so don't get crap on because they just go.
I'll be watching.
Put machines on while we're cleaning one side. With machines, you'll see you'll be melting. And the other side, we'll bring the cows in, clean them, prep them up. And when that side's done milking, the machine detaches automatically by itself. You slide the machine over and then hook it on the other cows on the other side.
Glenn Brueggemann explains their farm is at a small scale level compared with larger, more commercial enterprises. Brueggemann Farm ships around 6,000 to 7,000 pounds of milk daily. Part of the joy in operating from a barn, he says, is the functionality and the history. Theirs is a traditional gambrel roofed barn, an intricate, beautiful structure, tall with plenty of loft space and a huge observation deck too. Brueggemann shows us around the round barn with its huge 35-foot high roof. They use the barn to store hay, straw, extra wood, and equipment. But while the brothers enjoy dairy farming, using barns for one of their primary purposes, milking, is dwindling.
Now we're one of the last ones with cows in New Berlin milking. There's one farm in the city of Muskego yet that milks. Yeah, it's dwindling out. Eventually we're going to move ourselves.
Where do you think you guys will move?
The plan is to move in Evansville, Wisconsin. We want to build a new dairy out there. Barn will last here for a while till Ray, the owner, is gone, and then it'll probably be a shopping center here.
And that's not to romanticize what barn ownership's like. In many cases, owners can't afford to keep up the maintenance. Barn owners confirm the roof can take very costly repairs, as high as $53,000 for a metal roof, one manager confided. Chuck Law with the Wisconsin Barn Preservation Program says this experience can be typical.
These barns are built with a very simple architecture, typically a timber frame system. And depending on the age of the barn, the construction is without metal joinery, oftentimes with wood pegs. So in some ways, repair and maintenance of these old structures is relatively simple.
The challenge, he says, is finding people experienced and knowledgeable with repairs and maintenance.
Based on their sheer size, often the cost of re-roofing a barn or repairing a substantial amount of foundation can be relatively costly.
An additional struggle comes from not knowing the history. Many barn owners aren't sure about the history of their barns. Nonprofits like the National Barn Alliance struggle to keep track of exact numbers of barns in Wisconsin and across the country because the U.S. Department of Agriculture data on the number of barns remains unreliable. Efforts exist for gathering better data, according to Danai Peckler, former president for the alliance. And new data, expected next year, will offer more insight. But without knowing the number and status of surviving historic barns on working farms, it's harder to preserve them. Owners can really struggle. Gretchen Sindik owns Sindik Motor Cars, a car dealership in Muskego. The historic red barn on her property, once used by dairy farmers, now stores family items and memorabilia. Sindik says the barn's at least 150 years old. As the years and winters have gone on, the roof and structure have grown weak.
You can see we've patched the roof in different areas, trying to save it. But unfortunately, the expense to redo the whole roof properly is about $40,000.
Sindik says with that kind of expense, she sees no hopes of retaining the property or the barn. When they retire and sell up, the barn will have to go.
And it will be developed and the barn will come down. Unfortunately, but to invest that kind of money in the barn just for it to be torn down is not smart.
In the interim, Sindik and her family see the barn as providing real purpose. Four families have used the barn for storing things too, but because of the moisture in the barn and the holes in the roof, anything metal, like used car parts, rusted. Critters can also create a separate issue.
That had to have been maybe 15 years ago. We used to store our boat and jet skis in here, and raccoons got in and nested. And so they nested, and they ate every piece of upholstery in our $7,000 worth of damage. So that was the end of us storing our boats.
Sindik says the biggest challenge for a Wisconsin barn owner is the weather.
The weather is everything. And we had some high winds, some real brutal weather. Just gonna say, please be careful up here. Please. But you can see, this is recent in terms of how big the holes are.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Let's describe that for our audience. How big a hole do we have there?
Well, I'm gonna be very careful. I don't wanna fall through.
Yeah.
It's got to be 2 feet by 2 feet.
Yeah.
Some nostalgia comes with knowing that, even if the barn collapsed and their insurance helped with disposing the barn, or if they sell, she'd miss the structure.
I would repurpose the wood. Yeah. That's something that I want to keep some of it, because it means something to us.
Hamilton and Palomino, the owners of the farm at Dover, point out essentially a barn, no matter how well maintained, remains an area exposed to the outdoor elements. And with this comes beauty, but also inevitable challenges.
You own a big old wood building. So it's very natural, so we have to keep critters out, you know, we have to keep bats out. It's a lot because you have essentially an indoor space that is exposed somehow to the elements. It, like in the winter, it's not warm, it's just as cold outside in the winter as it is inside.
And in Palomino and Hamilton's area, many barns have fallen into disrepair. Often when renovating or repairing their own barn, they buy beams or other wood from local neighbors who couldn't restore their own structures.
So unfortunately, once barns start collapsing, I think they're probably impossible to save.
Yeah. Or that would be a lot of money, no?
Yeah, it would take a substantial amount of money. So people in the community were very happy that we saved a barn.
Chuck Law with the Wisconsin Barn Preservation Program says multiple options for barn owners do exist. And there's a lot Wisconsinites can do to help restore and retain these properties.
And right now, the only real financial tool, if you will, to encourage property owners to preserve an old barn is through the state's Historic Preservation Tax Credit Program. We've also tried to work with a number of legislators in establishing a matching grants program.
Law says the Iowa Barn Foundation provides a model for Wisconsin of a successful foundation that has raised money, then distributed to owners interested in preserving an old barn. He also sees multiple options for those without access to grants or financial support. The key, get creative. Also, get an expert in.
Not only are you going to learn quite a bit about the history and the construction of the building, but you also might learn some things that you can do in terms of simple repair and maintenance that will keep that barn standing.
We also must remember we're raising a generation of Wisconsinites who've often never set foot on an operational farm, and with that lies opportunity for barn owners. Law often receives calls from school teachers looking for barns to explore as a school visit. He says we can do much more to help preserve our barns. Even helping a barn owner clean up and restore their barn can make an impact.
Volunteer your time and energy. Certainly you want to document, photograph some of these old structures so that they might live on in perpetuity through the documentation that you provide. Pledge money. Contact your legislator. Help work with us on developing a matching grants program through the state.
In the end, barn owners remain hopeful of the state of these structures. Wisconsin may well see more enterprising owners come in and convert the spaces to align with what they value, whether that be art, architecture, or just a place for others to enjoy with them. Barn owners like Bonnie LaDuha certainly hope so.
I decided to keep this whole place about art and creativity. We've had picnics and parties here for family, and I have 7 grandchildren, and they come and just run and run and run. And it's nice because they're in the city, so this isn't exactly country, but you feel like it here a little bit.
And in his iconic book, The Barns of Wisconsin, professor and author Jerry Apps captures the sentiment well. The barns of Wisconsin are of the land. They are built on it, and they are from it. They are reminders that all of us are of the land as well. I'm Debbie McCullough in Muskego, Wisconsin.
Debbie McCullough is a transplanted New Zealander who now lives in Wisconsin.